I don't think you're ready for this jelly. I don't think you're ready for this jelly.
I don't think you're ready for this peanut butter. I don't think you're ready for this peanut butter.
But I'm super hungry. I want a sandwich.
But I'm super hungry. I want a sandwich.
Maybe I'll just listen to Magic the Amateur instead.
Maybe I'll just listen to Magic the Amateur.
You know what? People are going to think this is another musical episode.
Yeah, with a rousing musical intro like that one. How could they think that this was anything but another well-crafted musical episode? Yes.
Welcome to Magic the Amateuring, everybody. Megan and I are just sitting up here eating some PB&Js, recording episode 131 for you.
Shut up, you liar. I wish I was eating a peanut butter and jelly.
You just ate a hamburger.
I wish it had been a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I understand that.
I really honestly do. I really like peanut butter and jelly.
What kind of peanut butter are you into?
I'm not a peanut butter selector. I'm not a peanut butter. I don't discriminate.
You're not a peanut butter picker?
No, I'm not a peanut butter picker. Like, I'd pick any kind of peanut butter that was put before me.
That was put in on your plate?
In proximity.
Ah, right. Well, I'm all about Skippy. If you put Jif near me, I will slap it out of your hand, just like I slap a pork chop.
Yeah, that's right. We do slap pork chops.
Yes, we do.
Thanks to the Twitter follower who sent us that wonderful video of slapping a pork chop.
I loved that.
It was really wonderful. It was really wonderful. Hey, Maria.
Hey, Megan.
You remember how last episode we talked about that rotisserie draft?
Yes, I sure do.
It's your turn. Pick a card.
Is it really?
It really is. I'm looking at it right the F now.
Yeah, you are.
I really am.
Oh, boy. Megan and I are participating in a modern rotisserie draft. If you want to know what the heck that is, go back and listen to episode 130.
Because we're not going to tell you about it again when we already told you about it once.
If you're late to class, look, you missed it.
Exactly.
You missed it.
If you're late to class, you missed the class.
That's the latest you can be.
Is
before you're early for the next class.
Yes. At what point do you become simply early for the next class?
Great question. I would say the minute that the class is over, boom,
you're
early for the next class.
No. I think you can be up to a full hour late for the class after it has finished.
I see your point.
I think you get a full hour, like,
and
the professor is still clearing up their things. They haven't left the room yet.
Mm-hmm.
Students are chatting.
Yeah.
You know, there's a mouse taking furious notes because he couldn't keep up.
Because his hands are so small.
He's a tiny mouse, so he's like really, he's just, you know, he's copying some notes. But then, you know, about an hour after it clears out, and then you're just early for the next one.
I don't know. Pick me a burn spell or a goblin spell.
Maria, you name one.
I have already thought of every single goblin or burn card I know.
What?
So now I've got to learn new cards, you know? I don't know
you
every card in my...
You picked Shard Volley twice, FYI.
Oh, did I?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I want to.
We're going to DQ you from this mofo.
That is illegal.
All right. I'm going to pick Lightning Strike.
That's... How did I not already have Lightning Strike?
I don't know. You had Bolt.
Oh, okay. That's fine pick. Sure.
Hey,
everybody.
Man, I can't.
You can't? It won't even let you?
It won't let me. It won't let me.
It's forbidden. Good job, Chuck.
I can't
our
type
friend
in your
Chuck
box.
Set this up. He has thought of everything.
He really has. All right, hold on.
You try and
gosh,
hack that. I'm gonna say this is Magic the Amateuring. I'm Maria. I'm one of your hosts. That's Megan. She's the other host. We talk about magic, you guys. If you haven't already gotten there, I don't know what you're expecting. And on today's episode, we've got a lot of really exciting things to talk about, including Magic Origins Draft.
Mm-hmm.
Right ahead of the Pro Tour coming up this weekend.
Yeah.
As well as Origin Standard.
Talking about some crazy S going down.
Yeah, there's some new decks running around out there, and they're making and shaking,
and there's gonna be some bacon.
Yes.
By which I mean Magic playing.
If only there was, like, some kind of boar in another one of the decks. Then that would have been the best.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Like prickle board?
Making, shaking, bacon.
Anyway. That's going to be some of the main things we talk about today. So
this format, they're breaking.
Yes. Good. Good.
These standard decks, they're cake bacon.
They're taken. Did we already say taken? Down. They're taking them down.
Yeah. These wins, they'll be taken.
There you go.
These points, they'll be making.
Yes. I like to drink a spiced rum called Kraken.
That's the worst way to say that word.
Yep.
So, everybody, we're going to start out by talking some sweet origins draft. I was just about to begin an origins draft yesterday when I was coerced into watching Buffy the Vampire Slayer instead.
What rude friend did that to you?
I have no idea. Some real monster of a person.
Couldn't have been me. Sheesh.
No, certainly. Did I mention I was forcibly coerced?
Forcibly? That sounds more like something you would do than me.
What? Are you suggesting that I have coerced people into doing things in my lifetime? No, my friends mm-hmm. all do things on volunteer-only basis.
Sure.
Ask any of them.
Yes. Megan, I played Origins Draft, though.
Yeah, you sure did while you were out in Portland.
Yes, I was out in Portland for Welsh Camp.
P to the D to the X, man.
Some people were like, I want an episode only on Welsh Camp. And I'm like, I would happily talk about Welsh Camp for an hour with
but
you.
I would...
But Megan would
go insane. I would go insane in the span of that hour.
If you want to know more.
Real problem.
Go to maddog.org. That's MADOG.org.
Which is not to be confused with Mad Dog, MADDOG.
No. Totally different.
I don't know where that's going to take you.
I don't know either.
Honestly, if you want to try typing in maddog.org and letting us know what comes up, please do.
Yeah, I have no idea.
But I'm not going to try it out personally.
Yeah, so I was in Portland, and when I'm in different cities, I love to go play at local stores and see what the environment is like down there, see how they run their drafts, that sort of thing. And I found a great store to play at where everybody was so nice, by the
Aww,
way.
Aw, that's so nice.
Everybody I met there was just the most lovely human being that's ever been a human being.
That's they're coming to terms with the fact that the day of reckoning for the West Coast is coming.
That's true. I mean, it's going to... collapse in fiery flames in an earthquake or whatever. And
it's going to be a giant tsunami and then some.
It's like within the next 50 years or something.
Exactly. They're all just trying to make good with the Lord.
That's like terrifying. I mean, it's honestly
tsunamis?
Terrifying
of course
to think
are.
that is going to happen. I mean, they're not just messing around.
No, but when do people ever listen to scientists?
Never.
Never.
Anyway, I was playing at Epic Gaming, which I do recommend that store if you're ever in Portland. It was a smaller store. Their draft was only $8, Megan.
Wow.
$8 for a draft.
That's awesome.
And I went...
Everything is cheaper in Portland.
That's not true.
That's a super lie. Don't listen to me.
I went 3-0 and I got two prize packs out of it, so it's like not even a horrible payout either.
Wow.
Yeah.
Two?
I don't think anybody else got any prizes, but
yeah.
Still...
I mean, for getting first, you got some prizes, and that's pretty baller.
I got to tell you, though, I was a little skeptical going in. I had a lot of fun at the pre-release with Origins, but you know what? It is a core set. It is the last core set, RIP, that we'll ever see, but at the same time, it is a core set, so I was like, maybe it'll just be a boring sort of core set draft. Guess what? It wasn't. Not at all.
Really? Tell us more.
I thought it was extremely fun, and I had a number of different ways I could have gone in the draft. I went
Ooh.
Green, white, renown.
Oh.
Yes. And I didn't decide on green officially until pack 3, if you can believe that.
I noticed when I was looking at your deck, I was like, this is really solid white.
Yep.
With like some green cards in it.
If you follow us on MTA Cast on Twitter, you can see a picture of this deck, which was, I think, a masterpiece. So it had, two... now I'm going to forget the names of all the cards because I've been at Welsh Camp.
I noticed you had some Topin Freeblades.
Yeah, Topin Freeblade, which is a fabulous card, a 2/2 that becomes a 3/3 with one hit. Fabulous. The bird in the sky that becomes a 2/4 after one hit. Had two of those. I mean,
yeah,
that card's just
Stalwart Avens.
Straight solid.
Yeah, bro.
And then I had a lot of kill spells, which was important.
You had a lot of two suppression bonds, two celestial flares.
Yes.
Nice.
Which, keep in mind, a celestial flare does not let you choose what they're going to sacrifice.
I don't think that... How confusing would it be if they were like, you guys, let's make a new type of card.
God.
We'll call it... give me a different word.
For like celestial flare, it'll be like sun's glaze.
Sun glaze.
Yeah.
That sounds like something that you do to like a bundt cake.
or a special donut.
Yes.
Sunglaze.
Oh, sunglaze. It's just a regular regular raised donut with a sunglaze on it.
Lovely.
What were we talking about?
You were talking about that if they made it so I told them what to sacrifice. It's
like target player sacrifices an attacking creature of your choosing.
That's just weird.
Which is like a really wordy way of saying, like, destroy target attacking creature.
Yeah.
Anyways.
I had one of those suppression bonds actually tabled to me, which is when I knew that, whoa, I was getting hooked up with a sweet white deck.
You could have just, been all
I basically, white. Yeah, like, it wasn't a problem me waiting to choose because I had so much strong white, including, well, this was an interesting choice. I had a Swift Reckoning in my deck, which is one white, and then if it's tapped, destroy it. Or exile it.
Yeah, one white is destroy target tapped creature. Correct. And if you have spell mastery, you can do it at instant speed.
So I actually never used this card, and I shouldn't have had it in my deck, I don't think, because my deck was because my deck was not interested in nobody ever attacked me. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Nobody ever attacked me.
Their shit was never tapped.
And I was like, okay, this is just sitting in my hand doing nothing. But I think that's more the nature of how I built my deck, which was pretty aggressively, that had big finishers. The big spider, the 6/6 spider who has reach and trample. So give me a break. Sentinel
silly.
Of the Eternal Watch, which is an insane card.
I've heard. That's an uncommon, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Oh, boy.
4/6 with vigilance. Nothing's getting through that. Tap something on there. Combat.
Goddamn, if they do have anything big enough to get through it, you can just tap it.
I had an interesting choice in that I had Rock Smallers in my deck, which is the 4/4 that becomes a 6/6 for 5 upon getting Renown.
Oh, okay.
And I had that in my deck, but I swapped it out every game for Conclave Naturalists, which is 4 and a green for 4/4. Ooh. When it enters a battlefield, you can destroy an artifact or enchantment.
You see, there were a lot of artifacts and enchantments to destroy.
And that's sick, isn't it? Like, would I rather have this 4/4 for 5 that becomes a 6/6? Probably.
Which is pretty insane, and it has trample.
But no, I wanted the naturalist, the 4/4 that killed an artifact or enchantment, because it'd blow up their suppression jumps, it'd blow up their claustrophobias, or it would kill their Sword of the Animist, or whatever else that was annoying me. Throwing knife at one time, I blew up with that thing. So
fascinating.
Yeah, so, I mean, this was the little deck that could. I also had a Kytheon, so that did not hurt.
You had a nice little Planeswalker buddy showed up.
Pack one, pick one.
Be like, what's up, bros?
And, I only played him out in one game, but he was obviously fantastic.
Let's be arrogant about this and hope it doesn't turn tragic.
Yeah. Tragic arrogance. Let this all be a lesson to all of us.
You might be good. Don't let it go to your head.
So, yeah, people around me were really telling me that blue-black had been successful for them in previous drafts. Mm. And the card that has you mill, that mills your opponent. Oh.
What?
It's some blue card.
Which one?
Well, you know, if I wasn't
at... What else does it do?
If I wasn't at Welsh camp, I would be able to tell you the answer to that.
What else does it do? It doesn't just say mill.
No, it doesn't.
Card. Mill.
I feel like mill it does something. Opponent. Like, and if they pull one, if they turn one over with the same color, then they mill again that number of cards.
Oh.
Do you know what I'm saying?
It's a blue rare, isn't it?
I think it is. I'm going to look it up for me because people were really hot on this card in this particular store.
So you're telling me there's a bunch of millers in Portland?
Yeah.
There's a bunch of filthy, filthy mill players.
You would have thought they would have been in, like, some kind of more farming state to being millers that they were.
I mean, I would say that, you know, Portland is... I mean, Oregon as a state is fairly agriculturally inclined.
I mean, they do keep an eye on it out there. Very sort of into the... saving the environment, which is lovely, so...
But, I mean, the rest of the state.
Oh,
Portland is, like... We're a city, and the rest of Oregon is like...
We're not.
We're not.
Okay. I don't really know that.
And, Portland is like, we're hippies, and the rest of the state's like, F that.
We're just fuck waiting for the impending disaster.
That's going to wipe you all out, and we'll be a red state. Oh. Hey.
That's so sad.
We're getting really cheerful.
Yeah, we are. Sorry, Portland. We're worried about you. Get out of there.
Yeah.
It's a death trap.
Just be careful, guys. Or just make sure that, like, you're outside of the, you know, you're outside of the flood zone. And that your house is earthquake prepped.
But anyway, overall, fantastic drafting experience. Great people, lovely store, and really fun to play. All of my games were very fun. My deck was pretty sweet. I played against, you know, a very aggressive sort of red-based Thopter deck. I played against a sort of slow, more controlling blue build. And so it was like I was seeing different decks, which all seemed, you know, fairly viable. It was just that mine was more viable, if you know what I mean.
Boom.
I just laid that down.
More viable. Yeah. I mean, those are some fighting words.
Have you ever discovered this blue card that I couldn't remember the name of?
Still looking for it,
bro. Okay.
I mean, I'm not seeing it. Oh, yeah. Sphinx's Tutelage. This is the card that I was thinking, but I didn't I thought it was just Mewtwo. But it says, it's the 2-blue enchantment that says, whenever you draw a card, target opponent puts the top 2 cards of his or her library into his or her graveyard. If they're both non-land cards that share a color, repeat this process.
Yep.
5 and a blue, draw a card, then discard a card.
Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of pros were really excited to play with this card, too, so.
Weird.
Yeah.
Who knew?
Who knew?
Who knew?
But it seems like it'd be a fun card to try and make work.
Yeah, absolutely. It sounds like a fun little draft around moment.
I am looking forward to drafting the heck out of this set in coming days because I've been away from Magic Online.
When's the last time you said that about a core set?
Never. I have, Megan, I've literally never said that.
I said it about M14.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I loved M14.
But yeah, now I'm just like, oh. I need to do it again. Like, I got hooked, man. This set has me hooked from the first game, from the first draft. We'll see if it loses my affections, but I don't think it will.
Mm-hmm. All right. Interesting. You hear that, Magic Origins? It's on you to fuck it up or not. She's already in. She's in for the long haul, she says.
A lot of pressure.
That's, I mean, are you going to live up to those standards?
We'll see.
We certainly will.
So Magic Origins has made a big splash in Standard as well.
Absolutely.
It's jumped into the pool like a cannonball, like a kid who ate too many grilled cheese sandwiches and
it
did a cannonball.
It came in like a wrecking ball.
Kind of.
We didn't know what cards would get cast.
But one card.
But one card was a surprise. And it... wrecked them.
This show has a lot of really popular modern music in it.
It really does.
But it's not even an Origins card, which is the funniest thing.
No, some brilliant, terrible, dirty genius.
That's like, whoever made this deck, is if they listen to the show, they're like, well, that is the best thing I've ever been called.
Yeah, if you all know Ray Totic.
Brilliant.
Dirty,
terrible genius,
made what he called Abzan Rally.
Yeah.
Which is Abzan, you know, green, black, white. Rally stands for Rally the Ancestors.
What? That card's a piece of shizer.
It really is. What a fucking awful card. If you all don't remember, which you probably don't because you probably tried to expunge it from your memory. Yeah,
play this card.
Rally the Ancestors, X white instant. Return each creature card with converted mana cost X or less from your graveyard to the battlefield. Exile those creatures at the beginning of your next upkeep. Exile Rally the Ancestors.
Boo.
So, they certainly don't have haste.
You know what the funniest thing is? Yeah, no, they certainly don't.
They certainly don't.
The funniest thing is that this card was sitting around for a while, and then boom, goes the dynamite.
Oh, yeah. Everyone hated on this. I mean, as they should have.
They're like, there's nothing that could ever possibly be made.
Card is the worst.
To make this card good.
Well.
Well. Well, we have some news for
you? Little friend came along.
Because Abzan Rally just won the Open Series in Richmond this past weekend.
Holy F.
Yeah, and people were like, this deck was wrecking people.
That's what I heard. Wrecking them.
They probably weren't prepared to see it in the first place.
It came in like a wrecking ball.
Why did I say that? You shouldn't even said those words.
You said it. It had two of the new friend, Nantuko Husk.
Yes.
Which is 2 and a black for a 2/2 zombie insect that says sacrifice a creature. Nantuko Husk gets +2/+2 until end of turn. It also has Mogus's Marauder. If you all remember, 2 and a black for a 2/2. When Mogus's Marauder enters the battlefield, up to X target creatures each gain Intimidate and Haste until end of turn, where X is your devotion to black. So, the idea being, you rally your ancestors, which that card itself does not give them haste because it's a piece of shit.
Yep.
But then you have your Mogus's Marauders, which will give some number of creatures haste.
Like the black card said, it can give this, grant this to his Grim Harrow Specs, which is in the deck, mm-hmm. as well as Nantuku Husk, like we just mentioned.
Mm-hmm. And Merciless Executioner.
Yep.
And Liliana, Heretical Healer.
Lily's in here.
She sure is. And also, Nantuku Husk will let you sack creatures. So the idea being that you can sack anything that doesn't have haste and intimidate to Nantuku Husk to make this thing hella big.
Wow.
Hella big. And also you're going to flip your Lily with that.
You know what? This is like crazy. This deck, this is a crazy deck build.
A crazy, evil, terrible,
dirty
genius
made this. Because like, that's a lot of work, right? That's a lot of work to go through. You need to rally the ancestors. You need several black creatures to make it worth it.
You have to, like, you have to have put together the puzzle pieces of Rally the Ancestors, plus Mogus's Marauder, plus Nantuku Husk, plus all these other like value pieces like Grim Harrow Specs. Mm-hmm. When you're sacking things to this Nantuku Husk, you're going to be drawing cards from that Grim Harrow Specs. Liliana, Heretical Healer, is gonna, you're gonna be able to flip and get some zombies and some value off your Liliana, which is just baller.
I love this deck. I mean, it's just
crazy.
It's so crazy. It's so creature heavy, and that's what I love to see. I know you're more spell heavy, Megan, but I think this is just so bizarre that I love it.
I'm a combo person too.
Well, this is kind of a combo deck, you know?
I think it's totally a combo deck. You need pieces, and you're just gonna in one fell swoop fuck everybody's shit up.
I mean, like really bad.
For lack of a more elegant way of saying it.
So players right now are preparing for the Pro Tour. Coming up here pretty quick this next weekend. Yeah. And they're going to probably have their eye on this. I'm very interested to see what happens.
I'm very fascinated. I'm trying to think of who's one of my Li Shi Tian, a infamous Jeskai Ascendancy combo player.
Yes.
At the Pro Tour. He top aided with that Ascendancy combo, which is pretty baller. So I'm looking forward to, I kind of hope that we maybe see him taking this on.
Oh.
See him go a little crazy with this situation.
I'm really excited for the Pro Tour, you guys. I've been kind of out of the loop having been away for a week, and this is really going to rocket me back into the loop doing 4 Gs straight into Magic. You know what I mean?
Four Gs?
Yeah, I'm going to do 4 Gs because I'm going so fast back into Magic.
I think it's just 4G.
No, I'm not... talking about cell phones.
No, I still think
you think it's just 4G, like you're not, it's not plural, is that what you're saying?
I don't think so.
I'm doing 4G right now.
Because I think 4G is a reference
to what?
To the speed.
I think it's 4Gs.
You think it's 4G?
Yes. No astronaut said I had to stick it out through 5G.
I'm pretty sure it's 5G.
No, they're like, it was 5Gs.
What? I don't even know what to Google. I'm just going to Google,
just Google
speed that astronauts go at.
Go Google 4G and then 4Gs in like quotes. This is how we resolve fights.
Okay.
Speaking of Welsh Camp, this is how we resolve fights at Welsh Camp.
This is how everyone resolves fights if you're talking about Googling.
No, I mean that we would say which hit of the word or spelling of the word or whatever gets more hits on Google.
Okay, so 4G is just short for fourth generation, so my bad on that one. But let's see.
What happens when you do 4G?
Oh, we need to see 4G disambiguation. Thank you, Wikipedia.
Fourth generation, huh? Oh, okay.
Yeah, so there you go. That's something you learned. Or maybe if you're not us and you're more tech savvy, you already knew.
I wonder if any astronauts, certainly no astronauts, listen to our podcast.
Let's see. This We might not know anything about what we're talking about.
Probably. But this has been a joy of doing the show. One of the joys, which there are many, is that some people will say to us, like on one episode we said, certainly nobody who's ever been in a submarine has... What? And then they had a submarine. I want to let you know the
things in Google search that auto-populate for 4GS.
What do you got?
Or 5GS is all that I've typed in. Like the number 5GS, no spaces.
Okay.
5Gs of weed.
For grams, okay.
5Gs money. 5G studio. 5Gs of weed price. 5G's 05422C. I don't know what that means.
That sounds like a tax form.
Yeah, I'm going to click on it. I want to know.
But don't you want to know how much 5G's of weed costs? Oh, God, costs?
This is talking about a submersible well pump.
Oh, well, sure.
Apparently the fifth most common thing you can Google starting with 5G's.
Oh, well, we can do an informal poll of our listeners and ask them to tweet at us at MTAcast and or write on our Facebook wall, which is facebook.com/MTAcast, and tell us, which is it, 4G or 4Gs? Which do you do when you're in the simulator at space camp and you don't have many friends, but you do have one important friend, and that friend is science. You know what I mean? You don't need a lot if you've got science. I'm going to space camp next year, Megan, for Welsh camp. It's going to be in
what?
In Spacetown.
What?
Yeah, we're going to Huntsville, Alabama next year. The Rocket City, as it's called.
Hey, I've been there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've been to that. I've been to the whole little NASA situation.
Yeah, and I was like, I'm only going to go if you can ensure me that I can go in a flight simulator. And they're like, yeah, you can. So I'm down. Otherwise, I'd be like, screw you, Welsh camp. Just kidding. I would never say that. Ever.
Oh, God. This is not...
All right, just tweet at us, man.
Thanks, guys.
Because, I don't know, we can't find it. Anyway, Rally the Ancestors. Seems like a good deck. We'll see if it gets hated on, because there are cards that you could put in your sideboard if you have that kind of space.
And if you're really truly worried about it.
What is it, like Tormod's Crypt, costs nothing, tap, and exile everything from graveyards.
Yas.
That would really deal some havoc with this deck.
Yes.
But we saw their decks this past weekend at the Open, which were pretty much unchanged.
Some were boring as could be.
Bant, Hexproof, which I enjoy. Boring I was pants. Like, ooh, is it going to have a new? No, it doesn't. Nothing new.
Bant, you'll get nothing new. Some green red devotion decks, some of which added a Nissa or two.
Yep.
Nissa Vastwood Seer, but some which did not.
Yep.
They put a Gaia's Revenge in their sideboard as if we would be impressed by new cards in your sideboard.
No, we want them in the deck.
Over it.
I've got to think that Wizards probably wants the new cards in the deck too, not just sitting around in the sideboard. So
how about that?
Put them in your deck, you guys. I want to see them in the deck. I don't want to see them in your board.
Let's see. We did have, there was a Jeskai Tokens deck, which kind of had like a mill other plan. Hmm. It had some Sphinx's Tutelages, which was the card that we mentioned in its sideboard.
Once we remembered it.
So there you go. Yeah, I had just been looking at it like 20 minutes earlier, so saying great things about my brain, really. And some Jace Vryn's Prodigies.
Yeah.
So who knew that that card would ever make the cut of anything?
Megan, you sound really down on Jace Vryn's Prodigy right now.
Burn. We saw a blue-white control list from Jeff Hoagland.
Oh, Jeff!
With some Hangerback Walkers.
Oh, that card is so good. That makes me want to play it.
Yeah?
That card's just straight value town.
Maria, it also plays Thopter Spy Network.
Thopters! Jeff made a Thopters deck? Thopters!
He calls it control, but it's pretty...
Whatever.
Pretty thoptery.
Somebody make me a Tempo Thopters deck.
A what?
I want a Tempo Thopters deck. A Tempo
Thopters deck?
That's what Thopters. I want.
Thopters!
That's what I want.
Thopters!
And I also want someone to build a Thopter that I can ride in like a helicopter, but cooler. It's kind of got that steampunk vibe. And I want an ejector seat that ejects me, but instead of like flames coming out, it just makes a fart noise.
So I think this was from the weekend before. We also had a five color rally deck from other evil, terrible. What was my other word?
Dirty
genius.
Geniuses.
Matthew Tickle.
Oh, what a name.
What a name,
Matthew. Mr. Tickle.
Five Color Rally.
Wow.
Yeah, so there you go.
Cool.
Check those out if that's something that you're interested in. It had a couple more ways to get things into your graveyard, but also kind of a bonkers mana base.
Yeah, five colors is always a stretch.
Really a bonkers, bonkers mana base.
So get out there and play some more Origins Draft. I would love to know your thoughts on this early stage of the format. Tweet at us at MTAcast. Shoot us an email if you have something longer to say. It's magictheamaturing@gmail.com. You can also send an email to us through our website, magictheamaturing.com, because I want to know what's going on with you guys out there so that I can win some packs. You know, this is all just totally on me being greedy.
Hey, did you know that while in orbit, the space shuttle travels around Earth at a speed of about 17,500 miles per hour? At this speed, the crew can see a sunrise or sunset every 45 minutes?
Wow.
How bonkers is that?
Talk about romance in space. You could have so much romance.
You can have so much romance. You can watch the sunrise so many times, but this is still not answering our goddamn question.
Sure isn't. You just keep trying there, buddy. See you guys around at the Pro Tour. I'll be in chat or something.
Yeah, man. If you ever see us, we are Magic the Amateuring or MTG or MTA Megan.
Yeah.
Respectively. So, you know, come check it out.
Stop looking that up.
God damn it. I want to know, Maria. I want to know the answer.
We're supposed to be doing our next segment, and Megan is still looking up.
I'm still all about, God. All about this. How, like, is it for, like... Is it, like, what is it?
It's 4 Gs. It's definitely 4 Gs. I don't know how.
How is that a thing?
Because it's more than 1 G, you know what I mean?
What is G?
Like, pull of gravity.
How is that a measurement of speed?
Because it's, like, that's how, it's not, I don't know if it's a measurement of speed, but it's a measurement of, like, that's what you're taking the pressure on your body.
Oh, okay. Hold on.
Like, you know when those things in the fair where you stand at the back and you're pushed up against the back wall and you're going super fast in a circle because that's fun?
Yeah.
You know, well, that's
you
like
barf.
1/8 of a G or so. I don't really know what it is, but that's an example of what I mean. Ooh.
Okay.
How about you just take a moment to talk about magic?
Oh, God, fine.
I want to talk about this cool thing called the Robo Rosewater.
That's right, you guys. It is really an amazing and beautiful gift.
That we've been given as a society.
That we've been given as a magic community.
I think there is also more than just this one. There are other magic card generators out there, too.
Yes. And this was based off of someone who ran... I'm bad at this branch of science, not having studied it. But... basically, there is a branch of science where they're trying to basically make neural networks in computers.
Right.
They're teaching computers to have to create their own neural networks. And this guy did one where he's trying to teach the computer to make magic cards.
I love
by
it.
By feeding it tons and tons and tons of magic cards. And then being like, okay, create your
learn,
own.
Learn. There are some that do learn, you know, and they say, that's not really something that cards do or whatever over the course of time.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of the deep dream thing that's going on right now, too, which is kind of letting computer neural networks, quote unquote, kind of just like do their own thing. Like, I'm going to give you a picture and you're going to make it all messed up and weird.
Oh, that's so creepy.
I know.
Our friend sends us those photos.
I did one of my cat.
That accentuate dogs and eyes.
So creepy.
It's super creepy, you guys.
Computers, you'd be really creepy. I just gotta say, if you guys are in the future, if the future is Terminator and the machines have taken over, BT dubs, y'all are real creepy. Anyway, so this system has spit out some magic cards that are quite hilarious.
Yes.
And we wanted to share them with you because they're just so funny.
Yes. First, you should go and follow Robo Rosewater.
Okay.
So let's see. One of our new favorites from today is Mimmerbood of Drubdisting. Just the names themselves are a treat. Are a treat.
What is this?
Two and a white for a creature human soldier. A 3/4. Two and a white for a 3/4. Holy
that's
shit.
A great deal. That's a
great deal.
Pass the vanilla test.
Defender.
Oh.
It is a defender.
Okay, that's a little weird.
But it has an ability.
Well, that sounds solid in a control deck. What do you think it does?
Green, tap. Tap all creatures with haste. Brilliant.
Oh, this has got to be the worst design card I've ever just...
It's what? I mean, in some ways, it's brilliant. And in some ways, it's hilarious. I love it. Let's see. Ballman's Brovaligence is one of my personal favorite names. One in a blue, instant. Counter target spell that share an opponent controls and or green. It attacks, target creature gets +1/+0 until end of turn.
Oh, okay.
Apparently the spell that you're targeting gets +1/+0 and attacks.
What? Can you make a spell attack?
I mean, according to this card, you sure can.
Wizards, think about that for your future dynamics. I mean mechanics. Did I say dynamics?
That share an opponent controls and or green.
And or green.
Period.
Like, what if you turned their spell into a creature and made it attack you?
I mean, I'm sure that there's probably some.
That sounds like a cool ability. Anyway.
I don't know, man. That's a little... I don't know. Swan Song kind of does that.
Yeah.
Doesn't attack you right away, but it counters their spell and gives you a creature. Not quite the same, but, you know, same idea. Anyways.
It doesn't give them a creature?
Archimic Heras. Yeah, it gives them a creature.
Okay.
Archimic Heras. Possessive. Heras. I mean,
oh, it's possessive.
Doesn't have anything, but Archimic Heras. One in a blue instant. Counter target spell that targets the top card of your library instead. If you do, target player discards it and put it into your hand.
Wow.
So you get to counter their spell
and
only
you
if
get
it targets
it.
The top card of your library, but you get it. Then shuffle your library.
For, you know, fun.
Just because.
I would love that if there was like some kind of like mechanic, if Magic ever made another unset or something like that. That was just super annoying.
Yeah.
It's like, shuffle
I would
library.
Love to see just this printed as an unset.
It's impossible. What does that mean? Is there a card in Magic's history that just simply targets the top card of my library?
I mean, like some of the Jaces do, but it's not a spell. I don't know, man.
All right, what's that one?
Wishra's Light.
Great
one
name.
One in a blue, instant. Counter targets spell unless its controller pays one. Pretty good. Draw a card. That's a solid card.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Employable. Is it mythic?
It doesn't give them. I don't think it gives them. At least it's not marked on here.
Seems good enough.
Yeah. Okay, Multi-Conoral Dragon. Tribal land. Tap. Add
useless.
Blue or blue to your mana pool. You know, you always want that choice.
Maybe you want a light blue instead of a dark kind of ocean blue.
Exactly. Splice creatures you control get +1/+1 until end of turn.
Oh, handy.
Yeah.
Add blue.
Wildstoke
Foulless. Ooh.
One blue red for an enchantment. Red, discard a card, put a 1/1 green centaur or blue artifact creature token with flying onto the battlefield.
I'm going to take the one with flying.
Hey, I mean, you might want the 1/1 green centaur or the blue artifact creature token with flying.
1/1 green centaur? That's never happened. But I would love centaur babies in some set.
That'd be so cute.
I would love that.
There was that centaur herald.
I know, that was a...
It was an 0/1,
I think.
Or an
something like that, and then you sacked it, yeah.
It was an 0/2, maybe?
It wasn't a baby. Like, we didn't get any baby dragons, and I mean that more than just like, oh, it'd be cute to have baby dragons. I mean, we didn't have a lot of common dragons in Dragons of Tarkir.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's me on my stump.
Graft of Rosy Belushian Horrors.
That is not the name of it. Oh my god,
Graft
that
of Rosy Belushian Horrors. 3 and a blue for a 2/2 human wizard. At the beginning of your upkeep, destroy target mountain.
Oh, sick.
Graft of Rosy Belushian Horrors doesn't untap during its controller's untap step. Rando drawback.
Oh, well, okay.
All creatures get +2/+2 until end of turn.
Wow, just always?
All.
It doesn't sound like everything is just bigger by two. Okay. Useless.
I don't know.
Useless, but man, that's a great hate card against any red deck.
Yeah. This is my favorite name, maybe.
Okay.
Strings, comma, the one.
Yes!
For a legendary land, tap, add 4 to your mana pool.
What?
Activate this ability only during your upkeep.
I don't care.
But still.
Somebody will find a way to break that.
Yeah, right? That card would get banned so quick.
Banned faster than you can say banned.
Meets squeeing.
That sounds like the sound a pig makes when it's slaughtered.
2 and a red for a 1/1. Bloodry, 3 black.
It's making up its own mechanics.
It's made its own mechanics.
Oh, cute.
You may cast this card from your hand for its flashback cost, then exile it.
What exile cost? Oh, God.
I'm assuming Bloodry is a flashback cost.
Okay.
I don't know.
Wow, this is just like a gold mine.
It's really great.
Wow. So yeah, if you guys want to see more of these, follow Rosewater on Twitter. And like I said, there's other bots out there that are doing the same thing. What?
Dorser Steel Lava, black, mm-hmm. Enchantment. When Dorser Steel Lava enters the battlefield, return Dorser Steel Lava to its owner's hand.
There's got to be a combo somewhere.
Brilliant.
There's got to be brilliant. A combo.
I think that's just, like with the constellation
literally
decks.
Nothing.
Oh, I love it.
Oh boy.
Anyways, so this neural recursive neural network also responsible for my new favorite word, tromple.
Tromple, yes it is.
Which was one of the early ones. One of the early ones was a creature that had tromple and Moynton Spalk.
Moynton Spalk? Was this German?
It was like some version of Mountain Walk, but it
Moynton Spalk.
It had Trample and Mountain Walk, but Tromple and Moynton Spalk.
That's just someone trying to learn English.
Oh, so you guys, highly recommend following Rosewater. It is brilliant and beautiful. Thank you, friends,
thank
that
you.
Made this.
Thank you so much.
You've really done
We'd
a beautiful thing for the world.
We love it. It's time for some Flavor Text Theater Presents Movie Pitches.
That's right. We've got a fresh little pack of origins
mm-hmm.
here.
Mm-hmm.
Fresh oranges we're going to peel.
Ooh, fresh orange citrus scent.
Mm-hmm. Yum, yum, yum.
Do you think it's funny that Greg Orange was in the top 8 of GP Dallas Fort Worth? And it was playing... Greg Orange.
Like, it seems like fate.
Playing magic oranges.
It seems like fate.
And he's our bud.
We're real proud of him.
We are. Good job, Greg.
If you ever want some chuckles, go read his top 8 profile for GP Dallas. It's wonderful.
It's pretty great.
It's really great.
What we're going to do is we're going to crack this pack of origins, and we are not going to obviously know the cards that are in there. We're going to pick them and make up some movie pitches for you guys out there, so movies, TV shows, and see if they're going to be any good based simply on the names of the cards or perhaps what the cards do. Mm-hmm. So this is our chance, my and Megan's chance, to be right there up there at the producer's desk trying to get the next big hit show made. We've
Just
had some
really
great ones over the years.
Fighting for our ideas out there.
That's right. I wish I could recount some of the better ones we've had, but we've made some gold.
I think the most infamous one was when we had the pun off, and then we followed it up with some Flavor Text Theater. Dune Blast, a remake of Dune,
was
made by Michael Bay.
Michael Bay.
We can thank LSV for that one. That was brilliant, and we did not come up with it.
Good old LSV.
Did.
Ooh.
Now listen here. I see you've come into my office today to pitch me something. So let's hear it. I don't know where this movie producer is from.
I don't know either, but all right, sure.
Let
well,
me hear
yeah,
it.
I've got
shut up about my accent. I've got lots of Hollywood money behind me.
Okay, fine. Your voice is lovely, sir.
Thank you.
I've got a movie here for you. It's a retelling of the Arthurian legend.
Ooh, all right. Yes. You've got my attention.
Are you on board? So we've got King Arthur. We've got Merlin. We've got the Knights of the Round Table. We've got adultery. We've got chicks with blonde hair. We've got fighting. We've got blood. We've got dragons. Anyway.
Wow.
Just think, that's what you got. Now I want you to imagine all that, and I want you to imagine it like, you know, Pride and Prejudice or Abraham Lincoln with zombies.
All right.
So this is like the Arthurian legend.
King Arthur plus zombies.
Plus zombies.
I get it.
So, like, basically, the invading army are the zombie army.
Yeah.
But one of the, at one point, one of the zombies gets Arthur. He bites him in the neck.
Oh.
And Arthur begins to turn.
What a twist.
Yes, he begins to turn into a zombie. But here's the thing, though. Arthur is so good. He's such a good king that his goodness is not completely drowned out by the zombie blood now coursing through his veins.
What a moral.
So the name of the show is Blood Cursed Knight.
I like it.
Blood Cursed Knight. I actually, like, legitimately, I'm like, I'd watch that.
Yeah. I would watch King Arthur.
Plus zombies. Zombie. Yeah, okay.
All right, so this, Mr. Exec Man.
Yeah, what do you got for me?
This is a film. This is also based on an old tale, but the one of King Midas.
Ooh.
Who, you remember, was so covetous of wealth that he was given a golden touch where everything that he touched turned to gold, but that turned into it, you know, it was all the food that he tried to eat, all of his loved ones. And so this is actually about one of the guards at King Midas's palace, who King Midas, when he's first finding out about all of this, is freaking out, and he touches this guard, and the guard turns to gold.
Yeah.
But his wife is actually his wife is like, it's a little bit of a, like, it's like a little bit of a crossover because there's a little bit of Greek mythology in there too.
Yeah, sure.
His wife is descended from the Greek gods, and she loves him so much that she is able to channel some of her god heritage power to bring him to life. But he's still gold. He's still made of gold.
Cool.
But he's able to move and to speak. And like a human, and it's his job in this movie to find King Midas and stop him, because he being made out of gold cannot be stopped anymore by King Midas's gold touch. The name of the film?
Yeah.
Gold Forged Sentinel. The tagline, blessed by the gods, coveted by mortals, beholden to neither.
Ooh, that's a great tagline for a movie.
Yeah, thank you, Goldforge Sentinel.
I just have a quick pitch. It's a TV show. It's a reality
show.
Tell
me about it before I get back to my prospecting work my old-timey newspaper.
This is just going to be a TV remake of Here Comes Honey Boo Boo, but it's going to be focusing on Honey Boo Boo's mom exclusively, and she's going to live in a cave. It's called Catacomb Slug.
Oh, ouch.
Too mean. Too mean.
Burn. This one is about a number of very gifted thieves.
Ooh.
And they all work together to steal every single coveted diamond ring in the world. It's Mage Ring Network.
This film is about some guy who's like the guy at the office who's super boring, you know? Nobody likes him. He's kind of like Milton in Office Space. Kind of weird. Yeah. Loves a stapler. Whenever he starts to tell a story, everybody just completely goes to sleep because nobody cares anything what he's going to say. Here's the thing, though. It's a superhero film. So at some point, he falls into a vat of porcupines. And he becomes,
okay,
whenever...
got my attention.
Yeah, he falls into it. And so, like, he becomes weird porcupine man whenever he gets really mad when nobody will listen to his boring-ass stories. It's called Prickle Boar.
Aw, your favorite.
Yeah,
your
and
favorite
so friend. Cute.
All right. This is just a... You know, we're all into remakes these days.
Yeah.
And what do we need? What do we really need? A remake of This Is Spinal Tap.
I mean,
if we're
no.
being honest with ourselves...
I do not want to see it remade. I'd watch a sequel.
Fine. We'll do a sequel. It's like a sequel, but it's a contemporary sequel. You know, it's like all these years later. It's a different. It's like a hair metal band on the road touring, and you know they just. It's called Rock Smallers.
My movie is about the destruction of Portland in 2053. It's called Dreadwaters.
This is a TV series about it's a little bit of a combination between Dead Like Me. Do you remember that one about the girl who was a Grim Reaper?
Yeah.
Great show, by the way, if you guys haven't watched it. It's actually really, I love it.
I mean, I had it and I never actually watched it.
Mandy Patinkin is in it. How could you not watch it?
I don't know. I had shit to do.
You should watch it.
Okay.
Anyways, so it's like Dead Like Me meets Scrubs. It's a guy who is a doctor, and he loves being a doctor. He loves being a doctor, but then one day he's hit by a bus.
Yeah.
You know, and he dies from being hit by a bus, but he's brought back to life, and he's brought back to life by kind of like, you know, otherworldly forces. But the otherworldly forces are like, hey, we don't just bring lives back, okay? Like, there has to always be a balance. So we've brought you back because you're a great doctor. But for every patient that you save, there's a patient that you have to let go.
Whoa.
And it's called Tainted Remedy.
Do you know what? That's really good idea. Like, because that
person... You would fucking watch that, right?
Yes, because this doctor has to make the choice every show.
Every show, man.
He is, like...
Like, every episode focuses on two patients, and one of them is going to live, and one is going to die, and he has to pick which one.
I love this idea.
All right.
Oh, okay, we've got our winner. What was it called again?
Tainted Remedy.
Tainted Remedy. Okay. Print that. Well, if this shows up on TV, I tell you, we better get some residuals. Hey, everybody, that's our show. Thanks for listening to us this week. We are Magic the Amateuring. You know, you can find us everywhere you ever wanted to, including Patreon. If you like the show, if it gave you a little giggles or perhaps a little knowledge, throw a buck our way. Patreon.com/MTAcast. We would love your support and thank everybody for the support they've given us already on our journey as magic podcasters.
Absolutely. You guys are baller.
That's very true. I will say, I'll go on record to say we have the best listeners of any show in the history of broadcasting.
I agree.
Thank you. Remember to follow us on Twitter at MTAcast. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/MTAcast. Our website has all of our back episodes, magicthamaturing.com. You can probably find them all on iTunes as well as Stitcher, which is an app for listening to podcasts. You can also check us out at mtgcast.com and themeatery.org, which is our LGS site, which is also a blog and sort of like a Facebook for magic. So yeah, check that out, you guys.
Okay, sweet.
Next week we're going to be talking about the Pro Tour. Really excited to see what happens.
Absolutely. Oof.
And it's always great fun watching the Pro Tour too.
It really is.
Just vegging out watching the Pro Tour. Like, if I go on a walk, I keep the Pro Tour on in my pocket and listen to it.
Really?
Yes.
Doesn't your phone get hot?
No, because I do audio only.
Oh, I don't think my phone knows how to do that.
I'll show you.
All right.
Okay, everybody. Goodbye. Goodbye from 95 degree Minnesota.
Peace out.
We don't know how to handle this.